Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pick up your book bags, grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Hey, give me my theme music.
Denton Day is going to join us every Thursday on this show to talk some college football. Denton is the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM on Saturdays. He is the host of the Washington Commanders pre- and post-game shows on not only this station, the Team 980, but also 106.7 The Fan. And he is doing well at the BetMGM Network as a part of a show that he's involved in, not only on air, but as a producer as well. You know, I wanted to start before we get to last week and then some of the games this week, including the Maryland game. What's going on at UCLA and Virginia Tech, where both coaches were fired after last weekend? And I know it triggers some sort of window for players to immediately enter the portal. What are the rules? You might not know the answer to this, and if you don't, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I guess I've already done that. But could basically Virginia Tech's entire team bolt after the head coach was fired?
I'm not super well-versed in all of the rules, but they've never, like, no one has ever really explained them, which I think is the frustrating element of this whole process. But theoretically, yeah, when a coach is fired, you have a window, I think it's 30 days, where you can jump in the portal and just kind of go. And it's not, we've seen something like this happen before. It's usually not, at least in the middle of the season, due to fired coaches. It's due to money stuff. Remember that kid from UNLV last year got off to a 3-0 start, had that handshake NIL deal and said, I'm out of here. And so we've seen it more for that rather than the firing of coaches. Usually what happens is they just kind of go and splurge at the end of the season, and it's a mass exodus.
I guess, you know, and I'm reading right now, you mentioned it, you nailed it. You know, head coaching changes trigger a 30-day window for players who wish to enter the portal and explore a transfer. I mean, you could literally bring a season to a halt with that rule, because players are bolting. I mean, you're going to get a lot of players that will say, go ahead and bolt. This will give me my opportunity to get onto the field. But it just seems so ridiculous. And we've got the multiple portal windows already in the sport. Let's talk about the sport and the games. Because you know what's interesting, Denton? I think you and I have talked about this either on the air or off the air. With all of, you know, the changes to college football and college basketball, you know, we've got a salary cap now, you know, we've had the transfer portal, we've had NIL, we've had conference reshuffling, etc. What's really interesting about that is so many people bitch and complain about how it's ruining the sport. But you know what? For me, and I can only speak for myself, when 12 noon on Saturday comes and the games begin, it is still an incredible product. And I don't feel any less passionate about the games and the sport during the season. I get upset during the off season, but once the games start, it is still, you know, you get used to where the players have landed. You get used to, you know, where the teams are. And the matchups are massive. I mean, Georgia-Tennessee last week, I mean, that could potentially end up being the game of the year, except we both know there will be another dozen just like it between now and late November. Do you feel the same way or not?
Yes, first of all, there might be one literally at noon this weekend with Texas Tech and Utah.
Yeah.
Look, if you are watching Georgia and Tennessee and you're thinking to yourself, you're sitting at home, you're sitting at a bar, wherever you're watching this thing, and you're like, this is not as fun because the guy that just jumped over a defensive back is getting paid too much money, you're a loser, right? Like, in February, we care about it. In April, we care about it. When the games are being played, you should not
care.
Be caring about it.
I don't
unless,
care.
Like, the one caveat is if you're losing money and then you just rage and you talk about how these players are getting paid and they can't make you money. Like, that's like the one thing. But outside of that, no. Like, I'm not watching great football games and thinking, huh, these guys are getting paid too much. I can't enjoy this. That's just not how my brain operates.
Yeah, and that game was so good in such a great environment. I was watching that game, and I texted one of my boys who was watching the game, and I just said, this is the deep end of the college football pool. Like, I'm watching that game, and honestly, it doesn't look like any of the other games that I had watched that day. The speed, the size, the skill, the athleticism, it was off the charts. And I felt badly for the Tennessee kicker. I mean, he did make the one in overtime, but it seems like, you know, they had that big win over Alabama, but it seems like more times than not, it doesn't end well for Tennessee.
No, I mean, they haven't beaten Georgia since 2016.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy because over the past couple of years, Tennessee's been good. And they, as you mentioned, they've beaten Bama in that time frame. They've been good. They just cannot get over. I don't know if it's, I honestly don't even think it's the players. There's something with Heifel mentally. He can't get over Kirby Smart. He's like the arch rival. I thought the way that he coached Heifel in the fourth quarter was atrocious. Just poor clock management, maybe not understanding math. You know, maybe he thought 5 + 3 = 9, which is why he decided to play super conservative with like 8 minutes left. I did not like the way that he coached against Kirby Smart. You kind of like, you want to talk about the deep end of the pool talent wise, definitely. You also saw that with the coaching discrepancy. Like, there's no one that is Saban, obviously, but Kirby Smart right now is the best coach in college football. I thought he was, you know, really, really good in that, the late stages of that game. And that, you know, in this instance, that separated, I thought, the win versus the loss. And as we get deeper into the season, your coach has got to be ready to handle some big-time moments. I thought Smart did a great job.
Speaking of coaches, you know I don't trust Mario Cristobal. But with that said, I think Miami's totally legit. That offensive
really
line is sick. They can run the football. Carson Beck, I said it 2 weeks ago, I think he's going to win the Heisman. He's now the favorite to win the Heisman. Do you agree with me that the Canes are legit? Even though I'm telling you right now, I'm going to give out Florida tomorrow plus the short number in that game. But tell me what you think about the Canes.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I think Beck's been really, like, you're seeing the best of Carson Beck in the first couple of games for Miami, and they're not playing bad opponents. Like, it'd be different if they were doing this against Kent State 4 times. But they're not. They're playing good opponents. He's doing it against Notre Dame. Even USF, while USF is not going to be as good as some of the teams that Miami plays, especially with Florida State on their schedule coming up after this Florida game, USF is a pretty decent team, and they still just completely blew the doors off of them. The nice thing for Miami and Florida this weekend, if you're a Canes fan, is that Mario Cristobal doesn't screw games up, Kevin, until November. So you get a couple of months. There's going to be a game in late October, November, where we're going to do this on a Thursday, and it's going to be all we talk about. You're like, how did he do this again? What was he thinking? One of those games is going to come. The question, though, is going to be, do they have enough talent to overcome that? And I think for the first time in a couple of years, the answer to that's yes.
I had Murray on my podcast yesterday, Tim, and he said, look, they're scheduled the next 3 weeks, Florida, Florida State. But Florida, by the way, for those of you they are not following, yes, they lost to USF. They lost to LSU in Death Valley, a game that was much closer than the final score indicated.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to Tallahassee, and then they get, you know, Miller Moss, Jeff Brohm, and Louisville. I like that team, by the way. Tim's like, they're going to lose one of these next three. I'm not sure about that, but if they don't, they're going undefeated in the regular season, and that's almost a lock for a playoff.
Definitely. I think whoever goes unbeaten in the ACC, and I do think there is the potential for one of those teams, it'll either be Miami or Florida State, maybe Georgia Tech, though. I mean, Georgia Tech's schedule the rest of the way is is pretty easy. There's going to be at least one unbeaten team in the ACC, and that team is for sure getting in. And then depending who they play in the ACC championship game, there's going to be an avenue for two ACC teams, I think, to get in to the playoff once again, with likely neither of them being Clemson unless something drastically changes there.
All right, fraudulent or for real? All right, let me give you the teams. The first one I'm going to give you is Oregon.
For real. I actually think Oregon is, if you're putting Miami right now as the best team in college football, which you didn't say that specifically, but I think they could end up there.
I think they could end up as the number one seed in the playoff because of the schedule if they can get through this next 3 weeks, which I think they're the better team than the three that they're facing.
Anybody that would tell me right now that Miami is the best team in college football, I would not push back. We haven't seen enough from Ohio State and Penn State. And then LSU, I still have some questions offensively. So if you want to tell me Miami is the best team, sure. I would put Oregon pretty close behind there. I think Dante Moore's done a really good job, and I really like Dan Lanning. I want to see it against better competition, but at the same time, they whooped Oklahoma State's ass a couple of weeks ago. And Oklahoma State is the high-level Power Four team, but it's not like they were doing that to, you know, Idaho State. That's a team that has real money, that are spending real money, and they just completely destroyed them. I think it's going to be something similar this weekend against Oregon State, so I like Oregon. They're for real.
Well, we're going to find out next weekend when they when they go to Happy Valley to play that defense, which, by the way, they'll be coming off, you know, a bye week. I'm not a Drew Aller guy, and we'll talk about this game obviously next week because it'll be one of the biggest games of the season next week, Oregon at Penn State. But I'm feeling like that's going to be a wake-up call for Oregon on the road against that defense. But we'll talk about that one next week. Fraudulent or for real, Florida State?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, I'm going to call them for real. And part of that is because I do think Bama is pretty good, and Florida State was just better. I question their ability to be able to hold this consistency throughout the entirety of the season, but I will right now reluctantly say Florida State is for real.
Illinois.
Fraudulent. I think Indiana, I mean, that line, I was stunned by this line, Kevin. I'm sure you've looked at it.
Yeah.
Indiana laying 6.5 was very, very surprising. I like Luke Altmyer. I just don't know if I love Illinois in terms of, you know, compared to some of the other teams that you've listed. So I am going to say, seeing as they're a top 10 team, I'm going to say fraudulent for Illinois.
A&M.
I think A&M's for real. I think A&M's for real. I like Marshall.
You don't like the quarterback, though, do you?
No, I actually do. I do like the
quarterback. You like Marcell Reed?
Yeah, I think he's pretty dynamic. He's certainly not the best quarterback. I would not put him in any of those discussions. But I do think there is something about him where he has a little bit of gamer in him. So I think if he can not make silly mistakes, I think Texas A&M, this is the best chance that they've had in a long, long time of not only just getting to the college football playoff, but being able to win double-digit games this year.
Fraudulent or for real, this is a very intriguing matchup Saturday afternoon. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma is for real, but that schedule is going to kick the snot out of them. They are in the worst spot this year, Kevin, because I really do think they're good. I think their quarterback is really good. But after they play Auburn this weekend, which will be a nice test, they get layup game against Kent State, which Kent State's going to get 70 hung on them. And then it's Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Bama, Missouri, LSU. Sheesh. I mean, what a gauntlet that is. So I think they're for real, but I don't know that they'll be able to survive that. I do think this is the first year that a three-loss team could potentially get into the playoff, but that's going to be – if Oklahoma only has three losses by the end of that schedule, I think they'll deserve a spot in the playoff.
Tell everybody, those that have not watched Oklahoma yet, about their quarterback, John Mateer, who right now is the second odds favorite behind Carson Beck to win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, he is another guy that is a gamer. One, he wears a headband, and anyone that's ever wore a headband is automatically cool as a guy that used to wear a headband a lot. But I think he really processes well. You know, that was my biggest takeaway against Michigan. How many times just over the course of college football and NFL football have we seen a quarterback go up against a Wink Martindale defense and get exposed? Wink, right. Wink. We've seen it a bunch, right? He did not. I thought he handled it really, really well against Michigan. So against Auburn, it'll be a test. I think this one will be much more of a track meet than that game was against Michigan, because once Oklahoma scored a certain amount of points, they kind of knew the game was over because Michigan couldn't score. Auburn's a little bit different, but I think Mateer is going to end up being the story of what would otherwise be a Jackson Arnold revenge game. He plays quarterback now for Auburn. He was right with Oklahoma last year. That was a terrible situation. Oklahoma didn't do right by him. He wasn't exactly spectacular. They move on. This should be a revenge game, but Mateer is really, really good. He can use his legs. He can make a bunch of throws. Not all the throws, but a bunch of throws. I think he's really, really good.
Georgia Tech, fraudulent or for real? The 3-0 Yellow Jackets knocked off Clemson last week.
They are for real because of their physicality at the line of scrimmage. And I think no matter who they end up playing, either in the ACC or as they go further into the season, you can't fake physicality at the line of scrimmage. That's one thing where Brent Key, over the course of his career, has excelled. I do feel bad for Georgia Tech, though. Depending on what happens with some other jobs across the country, he is going to be sought after like crazy. You know, if Florida ends up moving on from Napier, Key is going to be right in that discussion. He's done a great job with the program. I do think they are for real. I got a 7-1 ticket on them making the playoff that I feel really good about. I really like that team.
So Alabama gets beat and handily in the opener in Tallahassee. They've bounced back. I mean, they haven't beaten anybody unless you think Wisconsin is decent. They crushed Wisconsin in Tuscaloosa last week. I'm becoming a fan of Ty Simpson, not just as a college quarterback, but as a next-level quarterback. What do you think?
So I haven't judged him from the lens of what would he look like on Sundays, but I do think Alabama has done a really good job since that Florida State loss of using the next two games to get right. Like, that's what UL Monroe is for. That's what Wisconsin is for. Get our quarterback.
That's what Wisconsin is for. I mean, that's painful for a Wisconsin fan to hear, but it's true.
I mean, could you imagine saying that, you know, 5 years ago that Wisconsin didn't get right game for Alabama? It's crazy. But that's kind of what they are right now. You know, he didn't look good against Florida State. He wasn't seeing things. He looked very discombobulated because of the speed of Florida State. They've done a really good job getting him into a rhythm. And I think Kalen DeBoer deserves a lot of credit for that. But Ty Simpson also deserves credit for that. We've seen this on several different occasions. I mean, we're seeing it right now in Texas. You get a bad game and it just completely messes with the psyche of a quarterback. I think they've done a really good job making him comfortable. And I do think that Alabama is a really good team. Yeah, that Florida State loss, we'll look back on it and say maybe that was just Florida State being really good. But Bama's a good team.
Yeah, they get Georgia, I think, next week. Arch Manning, what's his issue?
He has the yips. He is not, I don't know if he's not seeing things. I mean, he's under the most amount of pressure that we have seen a quarterback under in a long, long time. You know, I know Finebaum compared it to Tim Tebow. I never was on board with that, but he is under the kind of pressure that a guy like Tebow was under because everybody anointed him as the savior of a program that has not won a championship in almost 20 years, which is crazy to say that Texas hasn't won in almost 20 years. He's not seeing it. I mean, to have the performance you did against Ohio State week number one, fine, right? First game of the season, going up against a really good defense led by an NFL coordinator that's now coaching in college. Naturally, Patricia will be able to get after a guy that hasn't played a lot of football. But to not perform against UTEP,
I know,
it's kind of embarrassing, especially given
bad.
The expectations.
It was bad.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he needs to contact J.J. McCarthy and get his meditation specialist or what, but there's something going on upstairs that they need to connect, and they need to connect that soon, because if not, they're going to lose some games that would otherwise be winnable.
All right, let's finish up with Maryland. Malik Washington, stud, four-star, sought-after quarterback from, you know, Howard County, gets the start as a true freshman. The Terps haven't played anybody yet. And, you know, you could say that they're getting an opportunity here with kind of a light Big Ten schedule. They open on the road for the first time, their Big Ten schedule. Not opening on the road for the first time in their Big Ten lifetime. I'm just saying this year, in Madison against Wisconsin, they are 10-point underdogs. That seems like an awful lot. But what are people in the sport saying about Malik Washington?
I think people are excited about Malik Washington, but they want to see it against bigger competition. As you know, people had been excited about Talia, and then he sees big competition, and he's not all of that exciting anymore. Same thing with Billy Edwards.
This guy's legit, though, talent-wise. Big dude,
yeah,
you know.
He's much better. I think talent-wise, he's the best quarterback that Maryland's had in a long, long time. Yeah. If he can perform against Wisconsin and Maryland can beat Wisconsin, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. I was stunned that line was 10.5. I think that will completely change the narrative surrounding not just – this year's Maryland football team, but then potentially Maryland football teams to come. I think it makes Locke's job a lot easier in terms of recruiting if you can point to a guy and say, hey, we have a quarterback, come play with him.
You know, that's a really good point, and it makes this game crucial, actually. If Maryland somehow could go into Madison and win Sunday to get to 4-0, beating Wisconsin's not a big deal, but as a 10-point underdog and Malik Washington looks the part again, they've got some interesting games. I mean, they should be able to beat, you know, Washington at home, should be able to beat UCLA on the road. You know, Nebraska's going to be tough. They're coming here. They got Indiana. But they would be headed towards a bowl season with this kid, and then the pressure would be off Locks, and he'd come back next year. You know, there's a lot going on. Because if this season goes sideways, Locks, who knows what will happen with a new AD, then the quarterback leaves and you're starting all over. Speaking of coaches, last question. Is Dabo in trouble or not?
No, because I don't think there's anybody better. You know, as annoying as Dabo is, and he is annoying, and some of the things that he said this week are very annoying, there's not a lot of better options right now for Clemson that does not involve a complete and total overhaul. You know, Venables would have been the guy had he still been there, but when he left, I mean, they're not going to get excited about either the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator coming up and taking his job. And I would imagine they want to keep that in-house. So I don't think he's going anywhere. But, man, this season has been tough for Clemson.
At the Denton Day on X on Twitter, he'll be in Sunday for the pregame show. I'll be on it with him. He'll do the postgame show as well following the game. Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
All right, see ya.
Charch next. We'll do fantasy football with him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.